the store. And so for me, having that level of intimate connection and experience to be able to know for sure how the animal was raised really well.
Hello, this is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Art Omai, a sculpture and architecture park and international residency center in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dusk until dawn. Art Omai presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Information at artomai.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Medicare for All, a prescription against deadly COVID capitalism. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The United States, the wealthiest and most powerful nation in world history, is also number one in COVID-19 infections and deaths. As White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Deborah Birx warned last weekend,
it is extraordinarily widespread. It's into the rural as equal urban areas. And to everybody who lives in a rural area, you are not immune or protected from this virus.
President Donald Trump responded by calling Dr. Birx pathetic. 6 months into the pandemic, he's offered no national plan to stop the spread of the virus, which is thriving. As Trump daily demands rapid reopening of schools and the economy, the lines for tests stretch ever longer, and the ever-expanding wait for test results, in many cases up to 2 weeks, renders the results essentially useless, making contact tracing and isolation of infected people virtually impossible. The American Association of Medical Colleges recently released a roadmap to reset the nation's approach to the pandemic, urging the Trump administration to invoke the Defense Production Act to overcome the unconscionable shortage of personal protective equipment, or PPE, testing supplies, and therapeutic drugs. Further and more fundamentally, the AAMC calls for addressing systemic racism and other inequities that exist in our healthcare system, and for a massive increase in funding for our beleaguered public health infrastructure. Included would be the fair, equitable, and rapid distribution of a safe, effective vaccine when one becomes available, not only nationally, but globally. This roadmap sounds sensible, but what chance does it have with a science denier in the White House more concerned with his TV ratings and re-election than addressing the greatest pandemic in a century? Trump's providing socialism for multinational corporations, doling out billions to big pharmaceutical companies supposedly to develop vaccines. Public Citizen says Trump's $6 billion taxpayer-funded program benefiting private companies has a striking lack of transparency. Pharmaceutical company insiders are making millions through stock options as poor and uninsured Americans are left to fend for themselves in the so-called free market. A simple overdue step would be to immediately expand Medicare, the national health insurance system for people 65 years old and above, to cover all Americans from birth. Medicare for All would separate health insurance coverage from employment status or wealth, saving trillions of dollars and, most importantly, saving lives. President Harry Truman told Congress in 1945, when he first proposed single-payer health care, people with low or moderate incomes do not get the same medical attention as those with high incomes. 20 years later, a scaled-down bill passed Congress, establishing Medicare for older Americans and Medicaid for millions of poor and disabled people. In signing the Medicare Act on July 30, 1965, President Lyndon Johnson made compromises with the American Medical Association, shoring up the inefficient employer-based private health insurance system that has left tens of millions of Americans without access to health care. The ranks of the uninsured and underinsured are now swelling, as more than 54 million people have filed for unemployment since the onset of the pandemic in March. While some of those people have returned to work, millions of the jobs lost as a result of the pandemic may never come back. An Urban Institute study from mid-July predicted 10 million people will permanently lose their employer-provided health insurance. And just as poor people and people of color are more likely to die of COVID-19, they're also more likely to be uninsured or underinsured. One recent mid-pandemic poll showed close to 80% support for Medicare for All among Democratic Party members. Joe Biden, though, opposes single-payer health care and said he'd veto a Medicare for All bill if, as president, it made it to his desk. But activist pressure has forced Biden to change his position in the past. Last week, an initial vote by the party's platform committee shot down the Medicare for All proposal. Despite that defeat, at least 700 delegates to the upcoming Democratic National Convention have vowed to oppose the party platform if it doesn't include Medicare for All. In both Missouri and Oklahoma, the public recently passed Obamacare's Medicaid expansion by statewide ballot initiatives, overriding their red state governors and legislatures. And in three recent remarkable primary upsets, Black Lives Matter activist Cori Bush in St. Louis, Murray Newman in Chicago, and former middle school principal Jamal Bowman in New York defeated establishment incumbent Democratic Congress members. All three progressive challengers are expected to win in November, joining a growing, diverse contingent of progressives in Congress who support Medicare for All. When the people lead, the saying goes, the leaders will follow. It's a matter of life and death. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more, Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM, Creative Community Radio.
Growing national outcries continue over the death of George Floyd.
Last night, people protesting in Minneapolis escalated as demonstrators were lashed by tear gas and rubber bullets.
The main message here, is that they want to see those officers involved.
They want to see those officers arrested.
Trade my 4x4 for a GC3, ain't no more free to speak. I gave him chance, chance again, I even told him please. I find it crazy the police to shoot you and know that you dead but still tell you to freeze. Nope, I seen what I seen, I guess that mean hold him down if he say he can't breathe. It's too many mothers just grieving, they killing us for no reason. Been going on for too long to get it even. Throw us in cages like dogs and hyenas. I went to court and they sent me to prison. My mama was pissed when they said I can't leave. First I was drunk then I sobered up quick when I heard all that time that they gave to Talib. He got a life sentence plus. We just some products of our environment, how the fuck they gon' blame us? You can't fight fire with fire, I know, but at least we can turn off the flames some. Every color person ain't dumb, and all whites not racist. I be judging by the mind and heart, I ain't really in the faces.
though the way that we living is not getting better. You gotta know how to survive. Crazy, I had to tell all of my loved ones to carry a gun when they going outside. Stay in the mirror whenever you drive. Overprotective, go crazy for mine. You gotta pay attention to the sign. Seem like the blind following the blind. Thinking about everything that's going on. I boost security up in my home. I'm with my kind, if they right or they wrong. I call him now, he'll pick up the phone. And it's 5 in the morning, he waking up on it. Tell him wherever I'm at, then they coming. I see blue lights, I get scared and start running. That should be crazy, they supposed to protect us. Swords and handcuffs and arrest us. Why they going like that?
That was Lil Baby, The Bigger the Picture. We're here in front of our studio audience preparing to bring you our weekly Black Lives Matter and Rap Radar segments with featuring an interview. Stay tuned for great music, discussion, and more. We will kick off our show after the local news and weather.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media about two signs, one in Cornwallville that said Black Lives Matter, and one in Cairo that said, I support law enforcement. Recently, the Cornwallville sign was torn down and someone painted BLM over the Cairo sign. Rob Handel put up his sign in Cornwallville after the Black Lives Matter march in Greenville on June 18th. He said, and I quote, I became aware of the hecklers that were there. I stayed up until midnight painting that sign. I was struck by the discourse that day. People in upstate New York, white people, would like to believe there is no racism in the county, and I think anyone who grew up in the county knows that's not true, end quote. Handel found most of the missing pieces of the sign and put it back up. It now reads, Black Lives Matter. The Cairo sign was on Main Street outside Sonny's Smoke Shop. The business across the street, Spirits of Cairo, posted on Facebook about the graffiti. The business wrote, and I quote, A willful act of juvenile delinquent petty crimes solve nothing. This is a very peaceful town of many different makeups. You not only defaced private property, but you have defaced this sleepy little town with your crime. End quote. This weekend, there is an anti-racism Black Lives Matter gathering at 2 p.m. August 9th in the Burn Town Park in southern Albany County. There is also a protest at 6 p.m. August 8th in front of the Schenectady Public Library and at 6 p.m. August 9th at 124 Canal Street in Ellenville. And August 12th, there are pro-Black Lives Matter rallies at 4:30 p.m. in Chatham, Ghent, and Kingston. Morgan McKay is reporting for State of Politics. New York Attorney General Letitia James, August 6th, filed a civil court action seeking the dissolution of the National Rifle Association, alleging wasteful spending by the organization's top officials. James said during a press conference, and I quote, We are seeking an order to dissolve the NRA in its entirety, end quote. The organization is accused of violating state charities laws and pointed to millions of dollars of financial misconduct. James listed top NRA executives, including Executive Vice President and CEO Wayne LaPierre, who has held that position for nearly 30 years. James said, and I quote, The central figure behind this scheme was no other than Wayne LaPierre. He traveled on multiple luxury hunting safaris in Africa at the expense of a NRA vendor, end quote. LaPierre is accused of receiving more than $1.2 million in expense reimbursements over a four-year period and spending more than $3.6 million on travel services in the last 2 years. James said the expenses would then be paid for through the organization without written approval and without receipts. It is also alleged that NRA executives used charitable funds for personal gain, gave contracts to family and friends, and granted contracts to former employees to ensure loyalty. Because the NRA is registered in New York, the state can seek to dissolve it or force the organization to cease operations. And you can read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. Douglas Doughty is reporting for Syracuse.com. There can be no evictions in New York State until the COVID-19 emergency is over, meaning no evictions until Governor Andrew M. Cuomo says so. Competing orders issued in recent months have caused confusion among renters, landlords, and lawyers about rules that suspended evictions during the crisis. There was some concern that tenant protections ran out this week when those executive orders expired. But a state law passed at the end of June says no one can be forced from their homes until the governor lifts all restrictions on businesses and non-essential gatherings. While the state appears to be well on its way to restoring a semblance of normalcy in some areas, restrictions on gatherings and businesses are expected to remain in effect for many more months, if not longer. The eviction protections continue, Cuomo said August 6th, and I quote, until I declare them no longer in effect, end quote. Referencing the Safe Harbor Law, Cuomo's Chief of Staff, Melissa DeRosa, said, and I quote, as we stand here today, regardless of any executive order, nobody can be evicted for any financial hardship suffered during the COVID crisis, end quote. Read the full story at Syracuse.com. Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. As the public schools move toward reopening, the New York State United Teachers, or NYSUT, and the UFT, the United Federation of Teachers, are demanding clear protocols from the state on how school districts should respond to a potential outbreak of COVID-19. In the event that one occurs, the unions are recommending a 2-week closure period and a return to remote learning until the school buildings are declared safe. NYSUT President Andy Pallotta said, and I quote, there is no time to take risks. If the state allows school buildings to reopen, districts must be prepared to close them in the event of a positive case. Clear state guidance is needed to ensure that confusion doesn't obstruct serious efforts to stop the spread of this virus in our schools and in our communities, end quote. Unions are also demanding statewide directives for how contact tracing is to be conducted, as well as the ground rules for mandatory and precautionary quarantining for anyone exposed in schools. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo is expected to make the final call about whether school districts may reopen by Friday, August 7th. Cuomo's comments this week, which to some seem to be saying that school districts should conduct their own COVID-19 tests, upset some school leaders who noted that it runs counter to the state's own health department guidance. And you can read that full story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, August 7th. Cool start to the day today, starting out at 60 degrees. Rain will threaten to fall all day, although when it does, it should be in isolated areas. Temperatures reach 80 degrees at 3 p.m., but don't stay there very long. They will slide to the mid-60s overnight. Rain chances linger through dark to the afternoon tomorrow, which will have a high of 85. With moderate cloud cover. Sunday will also make it to the mid-80s, but will be dry. Pollen levels are currently medium-high and will reach high levels by Monday. The next high tides will be at 6:06 a.m. and at 6:42 p.m. The next low tides will be at 12:39 p.m. and tomorrow at 12:55 a.m. Water temperature continues its slow, steady slide. A high of only 80 is predicted for today. Sunset will be at 7:46 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:54 a.m. Looking way up, we see the Perseid meteor shower is underway, and it will continue to strengthen into next week. A mid-latitude coronal hole on our sun is releasing a plasma stream that is due to reach us tomorrow. Solar wind speed is currently 445 kilometers per second at 5.1 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 14. And this has been the better weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wavefarm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdemar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Here's what we do with the clubhouse. It be fun at the clubhouse. Music stay loud at the clubhouse. Staff be cool at the clubhouse. Not just mine, that's your house. Music program at the clubhouse. Got a drum set at the clubhouse. Got a piano at the clubhouse. Make your own beats at the clubhouse. Get on the radio at the clubhouse. Share your voice at the clubhouse. Express yourself at the clubhouse. Tracks program at the clubhouse. Be yourself at the clubhouse. No judgment at the clubhouse. No drama at the clubhouse. We accept you at the clubhouse. Got field trips at the clubhouse. Got art supplies at the clubhouse. Creativity at the clubhouse. Paint your own wall at the clubhouse. Got a TV at the clubhouse. Got Wi-Fi at the clubhouse. Food and snacks at the clubhouse. Hope to see you at the clubhouse.
You were just listening to an original Clubhouse theme song made in our Tracks music program. Welcome back to Clubhouse Radio. You're here with DJ AJ.
Ben.
Ty.
And DJ WIC, but my new name is DJ Platinum, so.
And we stand. Moving on. All views expressed on Clubhouse Radio are our truth and may not represent the views and opinions of the Clubhouse Parent Organization and the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green. Period.
So, we're here speaking about Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Once again, I'm DJ Platinum. I'm going to start us off here. A lot of people who are against the Black Lives Matter movement love to say it's a waste of time, nothing's happening, you look foolish, what are you doing this for? You know, just stuff that will try to, you know, bring people down who are part of the movement. But that's not true at all. A lot of things are happening, actually, because of the movements. And I'll just name some of the little small things.
Bought you a mini list.
And Ty will name her small things of lists, but I'll name mine now, just a few. So, first of all, 31 of America's 100 largest cities have enacted policies restricting officers' use of chokeholds, according to an analysis by Campaign Zero, a group that advocates against police violence. So that's obviously big and great.
That's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. 67 other cities now require officers to intervene when a fellow officer is using excessive force. Now, that is a big thing, because it obviously wasn't a thing before, so that's huge.
And I actually knew for a fact that before, a lot of police officers specifically didn't say anything because they didn't want to get fired or, like, ridiculed by their coworkers.
Yeah, so now that it's, like, required,
they have to do it.
And, you know, if they, like, those cops who stayed silent when their fellow officers using excessive force, now they can come forth and say, hey, yo, stop that. I mean, they should have done that before, but, you know.
You know, they can actually now do it without
They don't
feeling.
Have to be scared and fear consequence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's very great. George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery's killers were arrested and charged, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to that. Very great. And those are just my small list of things that's happened, and they're very great, and I'm very happy and grateful for those changes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ty has some changes as well.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go off to what DJ Platinum said about the chokehold being banned and stuff. So the Aurora Police Department in Michigan banned a certain control hold, which is a move that cuts off blood flow to the brain after it was used to restrain Elijah McClain, who unfortunately died in police custody because of he wasn't even convicted of a crime. So just him being black and being happy and trying to go home, and he was murdered. So another thing is that the FBI launched an investigation into the death of Breonna Taylor, which is amazing because we obviously cannot trust the police force to go after them.
Period.
After the public pressure, obviously. We've seen all the protests and stuff. Then the Los Angeles City Council introduced a motion to reduce the city's police department's budget of $1.8 billion. Mm. Yes, billion.
Wow.
And Mayor Eric Garcetti said he would seek to reduce the budget by up to $150 million, which still I don't think is enough, but whatever. And the money will be put into healthcare, education, and crime prevention.
Let's clap to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like,
finally defunding the police. Come on now.
They said,
set an example.
They finally like doing it. My hope is that as soon as like they do it, then like a lot of other people.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of other states will start doing it too. I hope.
Lead by example, people.
Mm-hmm. The Minneapolis and Denver to Portland, Oregon, and Seattle major school districts across the country are now cutting all links to city police departments to institute their own safety measures and hire their own security, while the transit agency in Boston will no longer transport non-transit law enforcement personnel to and from protests.
And I love that what they're doing for the schools, because the police force and schools are doing more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
They're also playing a big role, in my opinion, of kids being like them dropping out of school and so many other things.
Especially kids of color, especially black kids.
Because when you're like arresting students in school for small things and small situations that are escalating to like, you don't need, come on, that's just.
Exactly.
They're not doing anything either. Mm-hmm. So like, come on, you're just doing it so unnecessary.
It also contributes to the school to prison pipeline. A lot of these things, like the officers arresting people of color in the schools, and not just people of color, but like children in general, taking these kids to jail. Like it was on the news, like a little girl going to jail. She's like 6-7 years old.
Oh yeah, they were like beating her and like dragging her across the floor.
Oh wow,
she was like 6-7 years old.
And it was because she like.
She refused to.
She took milk. She took a milk carton without like
asking.
I think I've heard of this.
All that over a milk carton. That's just ridiculous.
They were beating a child.
Mm.
So you're installing police in schools to protect kids, but in reality,
you're installing fear,
and they're hurting the children. They're not helping anybody. Just take them out.
Take them out. They never should have been there in the first place, to be honest.
That little girl's going to grow up angry.
Mm. Another thing is that the Minneapolis Police Department now pledges to disband their department and replace it with the new system.
Ooh.
So,
great.
That is amazing.
That's another thing we need to
clap for. Yes, a new system, please. Yes. A new system, please. Yes. Get rid of the whole thing.
Don't be shy.
Give me a system. Don't be shy. Another thing is that Mayor de Blasio of New York City has repealed Section 50A, which prevents the public from accessing disciplinary records from police officers. So now the public can actually see all the bad things that these police officers have been doing, which for some reason hasn't been available before, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, so like, you know how you can go online and find records of child predators or sex offenders. Now you can see what the police are doing, their bad doings, what they
records they have, basically. They have records of all like the misconducts they have done,
and now you have access to that. And where is that again?
That's in, I don't know where you can find them, but somewhere you can find them somewhere.
That needs to be nationwide available.
To be a federal thing.
While we're talking about mayors, Ferguson in Missouri, they actually elected the first woman mayor, and she's black.
Great.
That's on the corner. That's great.
Another thing, this isn't really like police involved, but Alexis Ohanian, the founder of Reddit, has resigned from his seat as CEO and has urged the board to fill in his seat with a black man or woman. I think that's great to like have a black person in control, especially when it comes to social media, so you can actually regulate, you know, like when people are doing, like, they're committing hate crimes. Yeah, Reddit is really big. You're committing, like, a hate crime or something. Like, something like that is very good, especially in social media.
Yeah, definitely. And sorry to cut you short here. I know you have a few more examples down there, but we have about, like, 4 minutes for this, for our Black Lives Matter segment. So I want to move on to the phrase black on black crime. Like, it's not a thing. Black on black crime is regular crime.
Right.
It's not racially.
No one would ever say white on white crime, Asian on Asian crime, Latino on Latino crime.
People love to say that to make a counter argument against the Black Lives Matter movement, but in reality, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it doesn't make sense. And people who say that, I look at them, I'm like, you know, something a little special going on in there, and you know. So, but like, let's say if it was a thing, since you're using it so much, what about black on black crime? Well, if they did care about black on black crime so much, I'd like, you know, they're not doing their research. Because, for example, the LDF, the African American Planning Commission, the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, the Trayvon Martin Foundation, the Color for Change, the Sister Love Foundation. Those are all black organizations that help lower poverty and crime in black communities. So if they did care about Black Lives Matter truly, they'd be donating to those organizations. So I'm like, it makes me wonder, like, you don't care about black on black crime, which is not a thing. But, you know, if it was, you don't care about that. You just want to. You just want to have a reason to argue
right,
about
you
something,
have a reason
and you
to
want
to
go
like,
against the Black Lives Matter movement.
So right, you want to be like, oh, black people deserve equal rights because, oh, they commit so much crime. Like, no.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
More than just black people commit crime, Karen. Get it together.
Yeah, and also, I just want to address the quick little thing. People love seeing the 1350 argument. Black people make 13% of the population, 50% of the crime. That's totally.
That is so disproportionate. It's not even the right information.
True. I don't know where you got your numbers from.
Like one
Wikipedia.
One. It's. I'm trying to remember. It's either 27.2 or 27.5, and that's also including arrests and false convictions, which also are high rates. And also, black people make up more than half of the exonerations in the world. So like. That makes you think.
And let's also bring into thought that black communities and more diverse communities are heavily policed. Do you not understand that? Mm. Like, black communities are so heavily policed.
They watch us like hawks.
It's like they will arrest you on a minor charge and then you'll get so many, I forgot what it's called, deductions in prison that you're in prison for so long for like a minor charge.
And also small things like probation, like for like not even just adults, like for kids in the community, probation, that stuff adds up. You do one small thing and you get a year of probation, another small thing, you add half a year,
exactly,
a year, 2 months, 3 months,
and then eventually you're in juvenile detention.
And they do that,
you're back in jail,
yeah. And they do that. So when you're like underage, let's say under 18, you're 15 on probation, they add on that time. So now you're on probation for 5 years. You're 18 now. Now you can go to jail. They arrest you. It's a whole system. Like,
it's basically just mass incarceration. It's just a cycle of systematic racism.
They're like, you little Timmy over there. He's turning. He's 17.
And the thing is, that's all a part of the system because slavery is still in the Constitution.
Yeah.
The 13th Amendment, right? Mm. But the slavery stuff, you know, they allow it inside of
prisons. It's actually said that slaves are no longer allowed unless you are detained in prison.
The punishment.
Yes, as president. Yeah.
So you know that's a part of the system. Mm-hmm. You know, come on.
So slavery actually wasn't completely abolished, and that's why they
not completely abolished. No.
Yep. And now they keep black folk in prison so they can have free labor, slavery. You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're about to wrap the segment up. It was great talking. You're going to come back next week, and we're going to talk about more about this stuff, because we're not done yet. There's so much to say.
We'll never be done with this topic.
We'll never be done. It'll keep being talked about until it's, you know, not a problem.
And we should be shortly back after the weather.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Mm.
Well, the news.
Yes.
From the WGXC newsroom. This is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Rachel Silverstein is reporting for the Times Union. Governor Andrew M. Cuomo says schools can open this fall. Speaking to reporters late August 7th, The governor said the infection rate is low enough to allow all districts in the state to resume classroom instruction for the coming school year. New York's public school districts, charter schools, and private schools submitted individual reopening plans to the state last month. Cuomo said school districts must hold 3 virtual parent forums to discuss the reopening plans for August 24th. He said, and I quote, "Parents must have the opportunity to be heard, and the schools should welcome the opportunity to explain the plan," end quote. Schools around the state were closed in March as the coronavirus exploded in New York, and students finished the last 3 months of the 2019-2020 school year doing remote studies. Cuomo has requested the school districts provide specific details about COVID-19 testing, contact tracing, and what remote learning would look like. Schools should focus on how they will address equity and access issues that emerge in the spring. Most school districts are doing temperature screening at the door, but Cuomo noted the screenings would not detect asymptomatic spread. So school districts should have a mechanism for COVID-19 tests, including whether it is done at school or local agencies. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Melanie Lekachevic and Kate Lisa are reporting for Capital Region Independent Media. Legal action taken by Wheel Operator in Maryland has prompted a second look at the Coeymans Clean Air Law. The law, adopted by the town in March 2019, was originally proposed in July 2018 in response to Mustang Renewable Power Ventures' proposal to import every year 116,000 tons of solid waste, including tires, from 70 Connecticut towns, and to incinerate the material in a kiln at the Lafarge Holcomb Cement Plant on Route 9W. Under the law, waste disposal facilities are prohibited from processing more than 25 tons of waste in any 24-hour period. A facility must have a continuous emission monitoring system to monitor the emissions of 19 pollutants, and the data must be published online in real time. Lafarge Holcomb is now pushing back on the law. Town Supervisor George McHugh said at the July 23rd meeting of the Coeymans Town Board, and I quote, "We received a letter from Lafarge recently regarding a recent law that was very similar to our clean air law that was overturned in Baltimore, Maryland by the district court," end quote. Lafarge Holcomb Vice President Michael Nixon wrote in the letter, and I quote, "We feel the time has come to take a stronger, more active approach to defending our rights. In addition to being bad policy, the town's clean air law is unlawful. It fails to meet procedural requirements, it is preempted by federal and state law, and it is unconstitutional, arbitrary, and lacks any factual basis," end quote. Nixon also claims the town's clean air law, and I quote, "singles out one facility for disparate treatment," end quote. Town Board, July 23rd, created a 3-person committee to look into the law as well as the issues raised by the company and appointed Marissa Tute, a teacher in the Ravina Coeymans South Clark Central School District, David Kuntz, a lawyer with a practice in Albany, and Steve Coey, a retired state employee, to serve on the ad hoc committee. None of the 3 appointees have worked for the cement company or have personal ties to it, McHugh said. Town Board member Kenneth Burns said he is concerned the town law, as it currently stands, may not hold up in court. Town Board members and Ravina Village trustees toured the Lafarge plant last week to learn about the company's plan to use tire-derived fuel. McHugh and Burns both support that plan. And you can read the full story in the News Herald. The Altamont Enterprise is reporting the New York State Department of Health has set maximum levels for PFOA, PFOS, and 1,4-dioxane, 3 drinking water contaminants. PFOA and PFOS have each been set at a maximum contaminant level of 10 parts per trillion, while 1,4-dioxane has been set at 1 part per billion. A press release from Governor Andrew Cuomo's office described the regulation setting the 1,4-dioxane level as, and I quote, "first in the nation," end quote, though a 2017 Environmental Protection Agency fact sheet for the chemical includes guidelines issued by 18 other states, some of which recommended levels lower than 1 part per billion in drinking and groundwater. The guidelines set are action levels, meaning that state-regulated actions are triggered when the threshold is exceeded. The EPA is still performing a risk evaluation on 1,4-dioxane, suggesting that it is only a likely carcinogen, but the agency has already established a health advisory for PFOA and PFOS. The impact of exposure to PFOA and PFOS vary from developmental effects to fetus and breastfed infants, increased cancer risk, and liver damage, among other issues. Read the full story in the Altamont Enterprise. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Okay, clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house or stress house. We joke around or can be serious, so come here being racist or delirious. We don't make fun of, we don't bully, don't pull on the back of nobody hoodie. Accept everybody the way they are, just facts, cause every time we sign in we make a pact. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. We follow the rules, community guidelines too, so nobody here acting a fool. We got radio, we got tracks, then we hit the art room and relax. Now we about to hit a throwback. Don't hog that remote, Bubba. You better give me the remote. Give me the remote, Bubba. Cause it's the clubhouse, it's the fun house, it's the best house, bit of a mess house, no stress house. And this house make nobody feel inferior, cause anyone can have a great interior. Yo, we special, yo, we cool, so come on down and be a part of the clubhouse crew. I'm out.
Yo, 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 DJ Walter, what I...
And DJ Popcorn.
It's your girl Up Next Projects.
And today we got a special guest in the building, Red. He here with us.
What up? What up?
He also gonna be, you know, tuning in with us on our Rap Radar segment as well. He's here to discuss his podcast. You know, he got a podcast out called
The Rider Diaries.
Rider Diaries. You want to get into that and tell them what that's about?
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically, you know, everybody's heard my story. People like my story, the criminal side of everything, but nobody really listens to the woman's side of the story, what they go through, you know what I mean? Yeah. They do that time with you. They got to ride with you. A lot of girls run around calling themselves ride or dies, and they don't really even know what it means. They don't know what they're signing up for. They don't know what lies ahead. And then when they get put in that position, they realize that that's not what they wanted. And they're out.
Exactly. I'm with you with that 100%.
Word.
Yeah, it's hard to find a real one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, when did you first get into radio?
Into radio?
Yeah. Radio podcasting.
Like podcasting.
When I came home, you know, when I was away, I was reading about it. It was a new wave coming up. Nobody was really podcasting back then, so I didn't know much about it, but I figured, you know, my grill deserves to be heard, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Everybody's podcasting now.
Yeah.
So I like what you're doing, because this one is something different. I ain't hear nobody podcasting and standing up for the woman.
It's a fact.
And the way you're doing, like, and telling and giving them a chance to tell a story about how it's really, how you really got to ride or die, not just be saying it,
right,
posting it on social media.
Yeah, it's all about perspective, too, you know?
Yeah, they be thinking it's cool, but, you know, it's a hard life. It just looks cool on TV, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when are you going to start that?
Well, we're working on it right now, recording at home.
Okay.
We're going to wait until we get a couple done before we put it on the air.
Yeah.
Working on a music project, too. You know, she likes to sing. She's a pretty good singer. She wants to be heard, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to work. That's good to have someone under your belt too. Already, so when you start, so you know, you don't have to rush. Give yourself some time to catch up.
You know what I'm saying?
Got a few of them under your belt already.
I'm gonna drop it all at one time. So.
Yeah, I like the name though a lot. Ride and Diaries. Yeah, that's fine.
I really do. That's a really nice name. So, what makes your podcast like? What stands out that's really significant that you feel is one of the most important aspects of your podcast?
Basically, so these young kids don't, you know, go down that path. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got to hear the real pain that comes with this. You know, this is not a good life. It just seems good. Sometimes it feels good, but it does not end well. It's got a bad retirement plan, you know?
Yeah, I hear you on that.
And I feel like you can't get that from... When I tell my version of the story, it can be glorified, you know? You see it in the movies, and it's glorified. Uh-huh. Let's hear her side, you know? I don't think she can glorify that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty dark world.
Yeah, man, it's a lot on them. It's a lot on your family in general, the kids, the wife. Yeah. She's by herself. She got to do everything by herself.
It's a fact.
Way. She got to also take care of you while you're up there, get things done, you know? It's a lot on them, so... I commend you for putting out this podcast. I feel like definitely. I feel like that's a really dope move, and that was really, you know, a good thing. That was really good on your part.
Yeah. Also,
to show that love back.
Yeah.
And also taking it in, like, switching off from that Hollywood perspective of when people, you know, go, oh, this is how this works, and since I seen this on a movie, I assume that's how this actually works. And these guys are just actors and hadn't really gone through that, but you know, it's just like. From the perspective of them taking it in and, you know, kind of looping it and making it into their own movie and showing ways of how to profit from something that's actually kind of real and what some people might actually relate to, and some aspects of it might have been real, some not, you know.
Right.
Depending on what it is, if it was, like, based on a true story or, like, a documentary type thing. So, you know, just...
Like, if you watch the movie Blow, you know what I'm saying? You hear his story, and that looks fun right there. What about his wife and his daughter, you know what I mean? Where'd they go?
Yeah.
They were gone. Who's talking about them? How did they feel about that? He made it look cool, real cool, you know?
Yeah. Especially through the eyes of the viewer. It's like, if you were to see it from different perspectives, I'm pretty sure the movie would have performed a little bit differently on...
Yeah, it tried to have a lesson involved, but that's my point here. When it's the dude who's involved is telling his story... And he's trying to give you the ending is not good. You don't catch that. You know, all you see is all the big houses, the cars, and the going
fun,
to the bars.
Fun part about it.
Yeah, yeah. You forget the ending of that movie. And, you know, the things he went through, you know, it should have been harder on him, but...
Like the Jadakiss. That reminds me of that one Jadakiss line where he said, "You think you Scarface, but you ain't seen the end of the movie."
Yeah, exactly. That's a fact.
Yeah. That's what that's like. That's what I think about when I hear that.
You'd be thinking it ain't gonna happen to you, you know?
Yeah. So, we do have something, my next projects that next projects would like to introduce.
So, today, we're listening to Anne-Marie and I believe, I don't know, I don't remember. I just got put onto the song. Yeah, G Herbo. This is a good song. I just got thrown to it.
Anne Marie, Stress Relief.
Stress Relief. I haven't heard this song, but personally, I just feel like it's going to be a good song because you got two very talented artists, and when two talented artists come together, you know, I feel like they can get things done and become efficient in a way that makes the music sound good. So, I'm going to let y'all listen to this, and yeah, we'll go and let you know.
There it is, Anne-Marie, Stress Relief, get into it.
Yep.
Had a long day. tell me all about it. Need anything, just call, I got it. On your freaky days, I'm all about it. Like me, every time I leave home, I got it, but I still stand tall without it. Don't lie to me, cause you can't get around that. Won't mention bruh, but I know all about that. Hop in the car, you can know where my house at. Don't need a bed, we can fuck with a couch at. Lambo keys with my bullet seat pouch at. Full of potential, just ain't got a scout yet. On my way, baby, just let me know where the route at. Ever met a nigga like me, I doubt that. You from the west or the south side? Skin tone, having staring with his mouth wide. Either way, I'ma hit the line when I'm outside. Family dollar sign, I'm still bout man. When you looking at me with a sad eye, like you tryna ride, be my valentine. I'm still a street nigga, and you know it. Really wanna be with you, just don't show it. Missing your smell when I go on tour. Gotta go work, but I do want some more. I told you, it's no limit to my love. And girl, you need a soldier. Talk aggressive, but that's just because I need to mold you. I ain't staying out all night tonight, I need to hold you. Let me hit it like a G's supposed to.
Baby, you need a rider. Someone to hold you down, someone to stand beside you. Don't hesitate to call, whatever you need, I got you. Let me be your stress relief. Let me f*** you fast asleep. I'ma make you feel so complete. That's energy, she ain't fulfilling them needs. She don't make you feel complete. Put you at ease, she ain't gon' freak you like me. Make you get down on one knee. Pretty petite, I turn you into a freak. I give you check what you need. But what you doing, you know she don't know what to do with a nigga that cover the street. I can't stand when I'm mad at you. I just wanna be next to you. You're the only nigga who can handle my attitude. Boy, just call when you're outside. You know I'm down to ride.
No limit to my love, and girl, you need a soldier. Talk aggressive, but that's just because I need to mold you. I ain't staying out all night tonight, I need to hold you. Let me hit it like a G's supposed to.
Baby, you need a ride. Someone to hold you down, someone to stand beside you. Don't hesitate to call, whatever you need, I got you. Let me be your stress for me. Let me f*** you fast as me. I'ma make you feel so complete, yeah.
We back at it. It's your boy Walter White in the building.
DJ Popcorn.
Up next, Projects.
We still got our special guest with us, Red.
Yo, yo, yo.
Right. Yeah, still.
So what y'all think of that song?
All right, so boom, right?
Right.
This is something that you like. I don't know. You can get like a bubble bath or something.
Okay.
Like some champagne. I can't drink champagne, but some champagne. You know, like you just... Some chocolate strawberry.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like,
I can't drink champagne either, man.
Like some scented candles.
Dove bubble
out,
bath.
You know what I mean? Lay back, stress, relieve the stress. It sounds like something you play when you get off of work or you had a hard day at work.
Yeah.
This sounds like something. This sounds like something off my mom's playlist.
he tried to go away just now.
Nah, that was that.
Nah, I like the song though. I like the song.
It's like it's chill. You know, we've been listening to some hype stuff.
It's just one of those vibes. It's just one of those vibes.
We've been listening to some hype stuff.
Yeah, it's just that song that you listen to vibes.
If y'all ain't know too, my boy Red spit them bars too. You know what I'm saying? The music. We was doing the music before anything. You know what I mean? Before that, you know, we go way back. We go way back with that. You know, I'm pretty sure that's how he got into the thinking about the podcast, because he probably was watching other artists, rap artists who's doing podcasts. Yeah.
I came home and saw all this stuff. I'm like, wow, everybody's doing it.
How'd you feel when you got out and you saw things was different? Like you see Joe Budden doing podcasts. And...
First, everything was an app. You know what I mean? Everything's on an app.
Yeah.
I had to get used to that. You got to have an app for everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Credit card payments everywhere.
Yep, we in the world of the apps right now.
Yeah, there's an app for everything.
Digi.
Yeah, digital, everything.
Young Digi.
Got my first iPhone. iPhone asked for my fingerprint. Almost threw it out the window. You
know? How's that working out for you, that iPhone thing?
I put my fingerprint in today, too. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Well, you locked in, man. Government.
Though. They got me.
I'm locked in, you know what I'm saying? I'm locked in now.
Nah, to Bubba, it's different though for him. It's different for him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Being locked up all those years, and then you come home, and you gotta be able to adapt and catch up quick, because you don't want to get left and be a dinosaur.
Right. I'm thinking it ain't even that long. I wasn't gone that long. It can't be much different.
Nah,
it's totally different.
There's a lot of small things they add up, you know.
Yeah, especially taking the time to like assimilate and adjust to certain things around you after you come out. You know what I'm saying? It's a way different world once you come out. You go in for a certain amount of years, and then you step up the bars. You come out like a changed person in a sense.
Oh, it's definitely different.
Yeah, it definitely is. You see things through a different eye, I'd say.
Well, welcome home, man. Big things, man.
Thank you.
Big things now, about to start. You make sure you call me up on that podcast. call up the clubhouse people too, man. You know we.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean,
gotta lay down a track up here.
That's a fact.
So
record something.
Next projects. Tell me about Chris Bird. Tell me about him.
So we back on this, right?
Yes, we're
so,
back.
Boom. This is my cousin, right? Finally got it cleaned up. The song cleaned up so y'all could hear it. Cause without the clean version, y'all couldn't hear it. But y'all can finally hear it.
Right.
And y'all about to get in tune because this is a valid song.
Right.
I'm about to put y'all on. Y'all can listen to the unclean version, though, later by yourselves because it's a little more lit with it being unclean because it make a lot more sense.
Right. But. So I just before we go into the song, I'm going to ask a few questions quick so we can get some stuff, you know what I'm saying? We can get some stuff rolling before we hop out on our break. All right. So, Danny, you got any questions before I ask them?
No, you can ask them. That's why he's here, so you can question him.
So, ask me anything, man, anything.
All right. So, I want to ask, like, because I haven't been to prison. I'm still young and whatnot. So, what is it like after you, like, you know, when it's your first time stepping in and then you step out? Like, what's that experience like?
Well, when you first go in and you find out your release date, you're like, whoa, you know, what's it going to feel like on that day? Mm. And whatever you visioned it is not what it is. You know, I was on the way out, a couple of good men, they walked me out to the gate, and it was like I felt like I'm gonna miss them. You know what I'm saying? Like, part of me wanted to like cry, like I don't want to leave these people. You know, you get real close, you create a bond with them in there, you're with them every day. But you know, once you get out of there, it's like, wow, man, it was a big weight lifted. Well,
they say you only do 2 days, the day you come in and the day you get out.
Yeah, the rest of it's a blur, you know, for some people. I mean, it was definitely a rough ride, you know, but coming out was good, felt good. But then, you know, once you go to the stores and stuff, people, interaction with people is different, you know? Yeah. People not watching where they're going, you be like, yo, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you just want to puff your chest on everybody.
So I have a question too. Now this is about food. I understand it's very hard when you go into jail because it's not like you have everything you have out in the like the outside world. So what was the food experience like?
Oh, man, the food. Well, when you first get into that county jail, man, that food is terrible. You wouldn't give that to your dog, you know what I mean? But then you get to hit the commissary, you get your oodles and noodles and your summer sausage, you start hooking up some little meals, make the best of it. That's all. Everybody gets together and puts a little bit in, and you cook up. So you make it work, you know. Once you go to state prison, food gets even worse. But, you know, you get packages from the outside. It's strange. You got to learn a whole new way of cooking and making food. Mm. But you adapt, man. People help each other.
And I also wanted to ask another question. I understand, like, in jail, everybody has, like, jobs, right? Did you have a job in jail? You know what I mean? I know everybody had a job.
I had a couple of them, man. It started off in the mess hall. Serving food. I almost got in a fight over a coffee cake. Dude wanted to fight over a coffee cake. Then the police almost beat me up over the coffee cake. Same incident, you know. It got real wild in there. Then I just ended up being a dorm porter. You hang out in the dorm all day, mop and clean up after yourself.
Yeah.
But the feds, though, that was a whole different world.
So what was it like when you first got out and you was like, oh, man, like, I'm here now, I have to provide, I have to be the fit, I have to, you know, I have to make all this time, I have to make up for, like, how was that?
That was quite a big burden, you know. It's like a lot of people fold under that pressure right there. Yeah. I was lucky enough that I got a job right away, some good people hired me in a roofing company, you know. It was a good group of guys I was with, man, they all supported me. And then once I got out of that halfway house I was in, I was able to go off and do my own thing. Got a union job, you know, and got my own company, steel coating driveways.
That's what's up.
And my father, we got Champion Steel, you know.
You're a dad now, too.
And yeah. I'm a father, man. Yeah, I was not. Man. I went away.
You went away. You wasn't a father.
I wasn't a father. I came home with a 4-year-old.
That's yo,
like whoa.
How does that feel?
That is a whole nother ball game right there.
Yeah, man.
Talk about adjustments. That was crazy.
All right, so this is one of my last questions before we turn into this song. We're gonna have next project introduce a song. So, I understand you gain these bonds and you sever. You know, you have to have these relationships amongst other people within the prison system, and over time you develop, you know, special bonds or maybe relationships or friendships with some of these guys in there. And so, how was that for you?
I mean, you meet a lot of good people in there. You know, not everybody in jail is a bad guy. You know. A lot of good dudes. They
There's
stand
actually
up.
Really some innocent people yeah. in there. Yeah. Whether you know
a lot of innocent people, man. A lot of people in there for things they shouldn't be. Got more time than they're supposed to get.
Uh-huh.
You know, people got 20 years for stuff that there's no proof they even did it. You know.
Okay.
And that's the system for you.
And I be knowing because I have a couple of friends in there that I know for a fact that they're in there doing somebody else's time.
Yeah, I met a couple of dudes 25 years for a crime somebody else committed, but